listening to the Norfolk Chambers of Commerce podcast. We're connecting voices right across Norfolk.
Welcome to the Norfolk Chambers podcast. I'm your host, Hayes Carver, and in today's podcast, I'm talking to Mark White, the LinkedIn professional. Mark, thank you so much for coming to the head office.
Gosh, what a space it's going to be. It is going to be fabulous, and what a brilliant spot as well. Bang, bang, can't go wrong.
You established your business in 2009, but it isn't just about LinkedIn. You do so much more. I mean, the list is kind of like endless. Training, corporate training, the career development, marketing strategy. That's a huge amount of work for you to do. So could you just talk a little about how you started your LinkedIn training business?
Yeah, I mean, actually, although it covers a lot of different areas, it's all LinkedIn, which sounds a bit boring, but really isn't. I mean, LinkedIn for me has changed so much, and that's been one of the sort of key things. When I went back, 13 years ago, I was actually the blog coach. So I was actually, let's go even further back, gosh. Language student, MBA, my God, did it all in the young days, and then had a fabulous time doing international sales at a place called Scion, which did computers. But came out of that and said, right, want to get onto this online stuff, which seemed very pertinent, and settled on using blogs as a way of companies promoting themselves. So not you know, someone to rant about, but actually using it as a way for online marketing. Did that for 3 or 4 years, was sitting with someone who said, well, I do Twitter, you do blogs, if only we had someone who did LinkedIn. And as they say, the rest is history. So yeah, started doing it, doing courses, and really it's developed from there. I would say it's all planned, beautifully structured. My MBA would have a sort of 2x2 matrix about this. It wasn't. It's just sort of grown.
Well, it's best when it's organic, isn't it? That's about the need.
Yes, I know. You're spot on there, actually. And as you so rightly said, you know, it started with some, well, it was group courses, you know, people. I remember being in this sort of furniture place down in Windsor where I was at the time. And we got about, you know, 30 businesses in, and we just chatted for an hour and a half about what it could do. And things then came off from there. So most of my work nowadays, in all honesty, is I work with companies. I go in and we do bespoke sessions. So perhaps they've got their sales team and they want to understand how LinkedIn could perhaps feed into the business development side. There's the marketing team and they're looking at how it can use your events or perhaps the posting and things like that. So there's so many facets to it, as you kindly shared at the start, that I only do LinkedIn, but actually every session's different because every company, every person is different, and that's the joy of it.
And LinkedIn's changed so much. It's been around 19 years.
Spot on.
So there must have been some amazing changes. What are the biggest changes perhaps that you've seen?
Oh, I think there's been a number, if I'm honest. I mean, part of it is actually just people's familiarity with the doing the inverted commas here, which doesn't work very well in the podcast, but doing inverted commas. It is the online, the social. First 2 or 3 years of LinkedIn's life, very much job board. In other words, when I run my sessions, I usually put a picture of a Rolodex up. And for some listeners, a Rolodex may not be something they're familiar with. But it's an online, it's an address book, as those who remember the little card systems are. Anyway, that's what it started life as. It was you, and it was your network. However, then LinkedIn said, well, actually, after about 4 years, who's paying the bills? It's companies. We better give companies something. Because actually, it was all about the individual. And it wasn't just jobs. Actually, the people in my Rolodex, my address book, actually, these are people I can sell to or market to. So it developed from there. It was quite a sort of steady growth for about 7-8 years, and then there was the hockey stick. So suddenly it took off along with people being more comfortable with social. Now what do we have? My goodness me, there's all sorts of things on there. It was taken over by Microsoft about 7 years ago. They've invested a lot. They've introduced premium accounts. There's advertising, as you might imagine. And of course, there's been big changes lately in terms of the people on there and how they want to use it. So it's been constant evolution.
We were talking earlier about personal branding.
Mm.
And so when you first join a business, first of all, you join onto LinkedIn, you like everyone in your company, you follow them. It's making sure from the marketing point of view that voice is right across the business. I can see the difficulties because what you say as a person on LinkedIn may differ from you as your business. So do you absolutely represent your business that you're working for on LinkedIn?
Oh, you see, you're opening a can of worms there.
Interesting.
Oh no, it's really interesting, and it's changed massively. Again, go back about 3-4 years, the answer would probably have been, well, actually, our start point in many respects is there's the company line. We'd really like you to sort of tow it, as it were. If nothing else, we'd like you to share it, and you know, presumably you've sort of bought in. Therefore, we can work together in terms of the same message going out. And that was good, and that was what people worked on, and there was the employee advocacy, and that's all great, so we get people on board and sharing. It has changed slightly now. People have their own professional branding, and you know, we're not only going to try and project the company's messages, but put our own twist on it. In an ideal world, I'm going to say the perfect sort of LinkedIn social world, what you've actually got is not someone who's just going to share the company stories from the company page, for example. That's a good start. It's someone who will actually post their own stuff, and in doing so attract people both to them and to the business. But that's a real difficult step to take. And with so many companies, getting people just to press the like button on the company posts is often a challenge. Mm. So taking it to this sort of ambassadorial role, if you like, is something that they have to both train in, and let's face it, take a step at a time.
We were saying it's changed as well, the kind of content people are sharing. So it was, I do remember when it first started, it was all jobs. And then you would think, oh, well, I can't reply even with an emoji because this is a professional space. Now there's emojis.
It's emojis everywhere.
Everywhere.
My goodness me.
And the comments and the kind of things that people are posting, very emotional. But I guess maybe that's like a fallout from lockdowns.
There you go, your point's well made. I mean, the big change. I'm someone who spends way too much time on LinkedIn. I mean, I'm on there 10 hours a day. Please, don't do it, anyone. Don't be on there 10 hours a day. Be on there 15 minutes a day. That'd be lovely. And I can show you how. Yeah, spend lots too much time. And the lockdown period was a real sort of step change. Basically, before, we had business and we had, ideally, personal life set. Lockdown comes, and of course, we are now working from home in so many cases, perhaps with kids on the same table and all the rest. Essentially, business and personal comes together. And so naturally, that is going to therefore evolve the type of content we put out as well. So it is not just going to be business stuff, because actually business stuff is being impacted by personal stuff, and if personal is impacting business, and so it came together very much. So people started to post about their business life, which includes all the personal stuff. So that was one step change. The other thing that's happened is that actually a whole host of, and I'm sitting here as a grey-haired old bloke, let's face it, youngsters. So the biggest growing demographic on LinkedIn now is the 25 to 35, who have essentially grown up with a sort of mobile phone attached to their sort of, well, whatever bit they're attached to. They are therefore much more comfortable, it seems, sharing, and I know this isn't across the board, but sharing stuff about themselves. And so you put those two together, and you've got a sort of powder keg, and the fact that the algorithm on LinkedIn rewards people who participate. So if you put something and lots of people say, yeah, same for me. Immediately that content, stuff that's being seen and pushed.
That's the way we're going, where people are very open about how they feel and mental health issues and neurodiversity and things. Maybe those things should be talked about. It's just, I guess, something.
There are so many benefits to potentially come out. As you mentioned two or three there, actually. Neurodiversity, DEI in general, so diversity, inclusion. These are lots and lots of things which are really important and which generally were not talked about. But my goodness, they are being talked about now, and LinkedIn therefore reflects that change. My slight issue, if I'm going to be honest, and I hope this isn't too contentious because I'm not really a contentious person, is that because the algorithm, of course, says, well, this seems to be popular, we'll push this in front of everyone, more and more of what I'm seeing is about these topics. And actually, while I'm interested, I'm not interested in, you know, 24/7.
Yeah, only that.
And there's where the issue comes. And so, for example, with a lot of people I work with, they're being put off. On their homepage, they're seeing these sorts of stories. That's great for a couple, but it goes on. And then there's pictures of dogs, because that's my working from home companion. And you think, hold on, isn't this a business site? So what I tend to encourage now is, A, train your homepage. So if there's stuff you don't want to see so much of, three dots in the top right-hand corner of every post, you can tell LinkedIn, actually, can you tone it down a bit, or I don't want to hear from this person. Or, even better, top left-hand corner of your site, there's a search box. If you click into that and just press enter, does a blank search, it will then give you the option to say, I want to search through posts. So now it's you in charge of the content that you want to see, rather than the homepage, which essentially is what LinkedIn says is the popular or potentially interesting post. You take control back. Unless you do want to see it, of course, in which case you can look back. Yeah, we try to make them practical. The person who'd organised it said, Mark, been on a few courses, but this one was actually really practical. And that's what I try and do. My whole aim is, I can pontificate about stuff until the cows come home. What you actually want is, how can you find stuff on this site that will benefit your business? And so what I try to do is focus in on those things. And if it is, let's get through all of the stuff on my homepage and focus in on, well, actually, Mark, can you tell me who is posting in my target company so that actually I can then engage with them on LinkedIn? Mm-hmm. Well, yes, we can. Can I find the right person within the company? Can you show me everyone involved in marketing at a target company, or can you show me the directors? Well, yes, LinkedIn can. So it's those sorts of things that we try to get to so people can put it into practice.
Well, it's actually interesting then to make LinkedIn more proactive for you than just you being reactive to it and seeing.
100%.
And I think that's the element that so many people aren't even aware of that you can do.
I get a lot who go to the homepage, naturally, because that's where you come into LinkedIn. They just don't go any further. And so immediately they've lost all of the groups. I mean, I'm not a big fan of groups anyway at the moment, because they've sort of, they've LinkedIn has taken them apart a little bit. But that's a place where discussion, and they're difficult to find now, but there's lots of stuff going on. You can search for, as I've said, posts, or you can search for people, obviously. So again, as soon as you take control of it, A, it doesn't take up so much of your time, B, it becomes much more effective, C, you can actually choose the parts of the site that are of value to you, as opposed to just sit there wading through a home page and thinking, what's the point anymore? And certainly, although you know, there is a lot more personal stuff, which is good, very happy with that, not afraid of the personal stuff. The fact is, there is also loads and loads and loads of business stuff. The trouble is, that is not the popular thing. And that when we post, for example, so that's also part of the courses, how do you post stuff? Well, if you want loads and loads of likes, then post something personal. There was something that came up recently about the crying CEO, for goodness sake. You know, he made a couple of people redundant. And recorded himself crying about the fact that he did. Well, that was raw emotion, but it isn't comfortable for everyone. And some people felt perhaps a little bit fake. So if we're posting, how do we do it? Well, we put the type of content that's going to be useful, but that can't just be business. It can't just be branded. It can't just be thought leadership. It can't even just be personal. What it needs to be is a mixture of all of those. Mm. And that way you are covering off not only things that are valuable, but also things that are getting behind the scenes, showing a little bit of the company, showing the people there that they're going to deal with. And so that's where the mix.
I think that's the interesting point. It's about, like we were saying earlier, it's about a business, people inside that business, because they're the ones you want to deal with and do business with, and that's how you build relationships. But I think people are also good at spotting fake Santas, as I like to say, a crying CEO. I'm sure he meant it, but there is an element of you that thinks that's just for social media, and then you're switched off.
I mean, when you look at that personal branding thing, for me, what you just said, how people, you know, comment, and you think, is that real?
It feels like Facebook.
Yeah, just a little bit. And the profile, again, if you can come across as personable and personal, but you know, but not go too far that way, then that's really key. So the branding thing, so the profile, it's you. At the end of the day, the things that you post, then that's key as well. But then the other bit, and almost the segue there, is commenting. So actually, part of what we do, and one brilliant way to get people back to your profile, where you can have your calls to action, you can have the services you offer, or downloads, or whatever, is actually to find topics that people are talking about, comment on them. My preferred way of looking at LinkedIn has always been, it's a big room. It's a business event, it's a conference, it's a networking event. And you know, I'm not great at networking at the best of times. I go in, I look for someone I know. It is the oasis in that desert of a networking event. And so I go and talk to them. But equally, if I'm walking around and I can hear, you know, over in the right-hand side, I can hear people talking about something I'm interested in, I'm gonna go over and listen. And that's the same on LinkedIn. If you can find the conversations, the posts, go and listen, and if you feel you've got something to add, drop it in. Then you are now part of the conversation. People are now going to come and say, well, who was that? That was interesting. Mm-hmm. So they look at your profile, and you have the makings of an interaction, engagement, and, let's face it, potential business on the back of it.
It is all about authenticity, isn't it? As long as it's authentic to you, and you're being
you,
it doesn't matter if you are, I guess, a crying CEO. If it's really you, and you're doing it because you truly mean it, then it will work.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, sorry I mentioned the crying SEO, yeah, but it, for me, if that's how he is, and I have no idea, I don't know him, then absolutely fine, because put it out there.
Yeah.
And you know, I am much less sort of effusive than a lot of people on there because that's just not me. So I have to be me. And if I start to be, you know, if you ever find me with a clown's, I mean, I put a Christmas jumper on once and it's not me. But why shouldn't it be? Well, it's just because it's not me. Therefore, be yourself, as you so rightly say, be authentic and you shouldn't go wrong. Some people won't like it, but it doesn't matter.
They don't have to comment.
They don't have to comment.
It's
a big old place.
It's a big space, so you should be able to see and say what you want, but people should have the opportunity to not have to see that and engage.
Correct. And interestingly, you know, there you will often see posts now which say, well, you know, not everyone will like this, or if you don't like this, scroll on by, which is annoying actually, but nevertheless.
It is annoying, isn't it?
Don't tell me to scroll
by.
Don't tell me. But the fact is, people do react, and what they do is they react by actually they leave a comment. Just bringing it back to the poor old algorithm here. If you comment on someone's post, the algorithm says, "Oh, well, that obviously struck a chord. We'll show you more of that stuff." Mm-hmm. So actually, the worst thing you can do when someone tells you to walk on by and you think I'm offended by that is to comment, because if you do, LinkedIn will show you more from that person or more on that subject, because your comment shows engagement and the LinkedIn takes engagement as interest. So your best thing to do, back to the three dots, say, I'm not interested in this, I'm not interested in this topic or this author, and you will start to see less of it. And it does,
and
it will, because
yeah,
that's the way it works, I'm afraid. So yes, spot on. Be authentic is right. If you don't like it, there's plenty of conversations there. Yeah, find the ones you're interested in and go for it.
So if you connect with someone you've never met and then you message them, what's the protocol, the best? Do you go into kind of that in your courses?
Yeah, I mean, because it's... I try to encourage people to say, actually, you know what to do. Because it's that face-to-face thing I mentioned, the big room. Would you walk up to someone in that big room that you've never met before, hand them your business card, and run off? Probably not. And yet, if I send you an invitation to connect where I've put no message in, and so all you're faced with is my face, my name, and my headline field, well, that gives you nothing. So immediately it would seem logical at least to say hi. Hi, Hayes. Look, I bumped into a colleague and they recommended a touch, or hi, I see we're both in Norwich, and wow, went to an event, it was fabulous. All of these are ways to break the ice. And we will have different ones of those in every single situation. So that's always a good way to go. Would I also walk up to you brandishing my brochure, and again, without knowing you, Hayes, hi, I can see from your back, Hayes, good to see you. Do you know, you look like someone who could do with some LinkedIn training. Now, I've got my brochure with me, so just 20 minutes. No, we wouldn't, it's too early. You're running for the exit or calling the bouncers, I don't know which. We would say hi. I'd ask about you, you'd ask about me, and at that point you'd evaluate as a business person whether this is someone who, I'm just going to drop in the fact that I do LinkedIn training, see if there's interest there, or maybe you've asked. So basically the face-to-face scenario we are much more comfortable with. You can just bring that same knowledge and understanding of the person in front of you across to LinkedIn, you're on a winner. Start to force it, you're going to be the sort of person who, will you connect? Yeah, I'll connect. 30 seconds later, there's a pitch in your inbox,
yeah,
and you think, ah. So yeah, it's a case of what we're actually doing is we're building relationships, we're building trust. Trust, there it comes in lots of different forms, but actually just the very simple thing of, hi Hayes, and I've spotted something from your profile, and just take something from that, shows I've taken a moment or two to pay attention to you. At which point, trust starts to develop. And so if I go back to my marketing starts, your attention, interest, desire, action, ADA, yes, that's all we're doing. We're just starting that process.
Yeah.
So
I guess because it's digital, people sort of skip those normal boundaries.
And then that's what they do, they automate, which LinkedIn hates, by the way, hates the automated sort of software. But it comes through as well, and ultimately it damages your brand. Because if you think, well, actually, I don't care too much about you, but I do need to get 100 requests out today because I know two of them will buy. Well, immediately you've annoyed 98%, and that I don't think can be good for any business. So I encourage against it. One thing I really like, and again, it's something that works really well, is when we follow up, again, we don't want to necessarily pitch, but we do want to just up the ante. So, hi, Hayes, would you like to connect? And you think, it looks okay, okay, accept. So what's my next follow-up? Well, you might follow up. Yeah, delighted to connect. Or I might follow up, maybe not immediately, but I might just thank you for connecting. What you can do, however, is on the mobile, you can actually record a voice message rather than just type it in. Immediately now, it has to be personal because it's recorded for you. It's easy to do. And it's also very, very personal. It is there to a person's voice now. So that is something that's having massive sort of success. Don't just type it in, because it could be cut and pasted. Record it. You can only, I mentioned the mobile, because that's where it'll appear on the desktop, but you can only record it on the mobile. And it's a great way to do it, because they can hear you, and that starts that real person stuff. You know, you're not going to, at that networking event, spend 3 hours with one person. You're going to find, oh, might be some interest. Exchange business cards, arrange to chat after the event. Same on LinkedIn. We want to get to the stage where we're sitting in front of someone. We just have to find the right processes to allow that to happen at a pace that is suitable for both and with the trust growing at each stage.
How do you keep up with all of these changes? Because I imagine you're doing a course, then a month later, has it completely changed? Or that you forever just, I mean, the admin must be crazy if you just... changing the course all the time?
A little bit, but the sort of core premises for me in many respects that still remain the same. However, you're right, yeah, there's constant things. There's new things LinkedIn are doing. I mean, this last couple of weeks, they released, you know, you can add a link into the image now. In fact, that hasn't come to everyone yet. I haven't got it yet. Brr. Pin comments. So yes, LinkedIn occasionally releases things, but there's a lot of us who... There are a lot of people who keep track of these things, and we share stuff. And so therefore, I spot things, and I'll share it with others. Others spot things, and they'll share it. And we just keep an ear out and an eye out for everything. And so hopefully we're able then to pass that on. For me, if there's business value. So for example, you know, company pages have changed a lot. You can add in now, well, they're introducing services and products pages. You can do services on your personal profile, which is in the services marketplace. So they've added that as a thing. You can add in a lead generation form. So each of these for some organizations are going to be valuable. So we try to keep track and we try to pass that on. And although clearly the elements are different, there is validity to each of those. Big organisations, often it's obviously down to either departments or teams or subsidiaries. But yes, we all have value. And equally, if we are looking to change career or we're looking to find a new role, then that in itself is something that LinkedIn can help with. So we haven't gone away from the job seeking. Mm. But yes, every business can benefit in some way. So you just have to adapt the sessions, obviously, and the content to make sure that it's valuable to those in front of you.
Social media has changed so much, and we've said the different way people are using it. Is LinkedIn still the top of the business platforms for social media, or are the other ones kind of parts of LinkedIn?
It's interesting. I'm a great fan, probably gathered, or I hope comes across anyway. So for me, LinkedIn is still very much it, because it is still the only one that has both the breadth and depth from a business perspective. Again, go back 2-3 years and the question tends to be the same, you know, is LinkedIn going to be around? Well, I said, I hope so, because I'd like to, you know, keep going for another couple of years until I get to retirement or whatever. Okay, it wasn't quite that. But the fact is, when it comes to things that are done in the B2C, or just more to the point, person to person, let's face it. So things like TikTok, that came out of nowhere, and it's hit levels that you can only sort of dream of. But that is individual. When it comes to a business type site like LinkedIn, that is a much slower growth because, you know, the businesses have to, well, they want other people to make mistakes. They don't want to make the mistakes themselves. So they wait for others to try it out and see what happens to them. Anyway, so it means that the growth is slower. And therefore, you can see competitors coming. Therefore, is LinkedIn still up there, I think? And will it continue to be? I think it will. I don't see anything coming to sort of rival it because it will take time to reach that. However, more and more for particularly smaller businesses and independents and freelancers, there is much more than LinkedIn. So actually, TikTok. And I just envisage my son sort of flipping through things and me despairing at the other side of the room. But actually, there are business elements in there that are starting to work really well. Instagram. Okay, there is an exodus a little bit of business owners from Instagram mm-hmm. because of changes they've made. But there are business elements in there. And we watch stuff like YouTube and Instagram and, let's face it, TikTok and LinkedIn with the idea of shorts. In other words, the shorter elements. But that content works across the platforms now because there are people doing business stuff on Instagram. There are on TikTok, as it happens. Equally, LinkedIn, of course. So actually, LinkedIn is still, for me, the apex predator there. But actually, it's just gently softening its position to bring in some of these other stuff and nicking some of it as well. Yeah. So we've got a mix coming, I think.
That's good. In order to move on, it's got to shift, hasn't it, and change its focus.
Well, it changed the focus a little bit. You're absolutely right. It also pinches stuff. I don't know if you recall something called Clubhouse from last year.
Yeah.
So the audio rooms. Well, LinkedIn introduced a first version, just as Twitter did. That has now come to mainstream. So they're now running audio rooms. And they're doing all sorts of things like subtitling in there and asterisking out swear words and all sorts of things. So they're taking it and they're running with it, and they're bringing video rooms in as well. So as you said, it's developing, it's pinching stuff from elsewhere, but it is giving us other fora to get in and work with.
How do the audio rooms work?
You set up an event, essentially, and you set it up as an audio event. So if you, either as a company or as an individual, you'll find there is an area on the company page, it's on the right-hand side, on our personal one's on the left-hand side of the homepage, where it says events. And you'll see a little plus, and you can set up an event, and one of the options will be audio event. And you essentially set up a room, you designate two, three speakers, and then you invite people along, and much in the lines of clubhouses, participate, or they can get involved, or you can decide who's there, and essentially you run it in the same way as you did previously.
Wow, so that's going to take away from Zoom, especially now with videos.
I would be surprised if it managed to do that, but it gives another alternative, should we say. Let's see. I think Zoom and Teams have got quite a decent place, but these are all adding to the mix, and that's the key.
Well, I guess it just
bit.
Means when you're in an audio room or a video room, you can then go off and search for those people that you're speaking to and connect with them there.
Oh, well, there we go. And you talked about LinkedIn adding new stuff. Something else that they're rolling out in beta at the moment is, in fact, within the audio rooms and within the events function, you can now network with the other people in the room. So it isn't just the organizer who can then tap into that. Actually, they're giving us the option to network with others who are attending the same event.
And that makes that connection genuine, because we're both here, we're both listening, let's meet.
Yep, spot on. Spot on. They're adding little bits like that, and it tends to, it's all the, I don't like the term peer-to-peer really, but you know, it's us chatting, it's network. And in events and in this, of course, we can network with people we're not connected to. So if we move slightly away from that sort of connection, which still needs sort of agreement from both parties, well, I mean, networking does as well, but we have other options. And people will use each of those different ways, hopefully, get new business, find new contacts, develop their own stuff.
And that's the goal, isn't it? That's what you're doing. And it's not just networking. Well, it's not just connecting to rack up numbers. I've got this many connections. It's making a connection and then developing it. It's just that first step, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And again, some people play a numbers game. Mm. Others take quality over quantity. Or ideally, and for most of us, a mixture of the two. So yes, we play it our own way, and that's the best way to play it.
Yeah.
Same, by the way, in terms of your content. So when you publish stuff on LinkedIn, it doesn't go out to all your connections. It only goes out to, well, opinions vary, but between, say, 3 and 10% of them, because that's essentially a test audience for LinkedIn. So it tries to send your content to the people who would like it most, and then it sees what the reaction is. And if the reaction is they've liked it or they've spent time looking at it, LinkedIn calls that dwell time, then great, it rewards it by sending out to more of your connections. If they don't, then it buries it. And so again, having your core set of people, coming back to your point there, around you, that quality, if these are people who are always engaging with your content, then of course that really helps your content to get traction and therefore gets it to the next set of people at the same time. So it has that benefit rather than just sort of broadcasting to one and all who perhaps don't pay much attention.
And I don't want to give away all the secrets from your courses because they sound really, really fascinating, but do you talk about like the best times to post? And
yeah, I bring in stuff like from HubSpot. I think, from memory, it is between 10 and 11 on a Tuesday. This is absolute rubbish, of course. A, because it's changing. B, because our audience are always different. So, yeah, there are better times than not. One of the things that LinkedIn sort of looks at, of course, when it's guessing this engagement, is who's reacting. And they tend to take the first 2 or 3 hours as sort of a good indicator. If I therefore publish stuff to a UK audience at midnight, there's a fair chance that most of them aren't going to see it because they've got better things to do, as in they're asleep.
But I guess it depends what age group you're trying to reach, doesn't it?
Well, potentially, yeah, absolutely. Or if I've got an American audience, then that's different. Mm. But LinkedIn will look for that. So publishing at those times is going to be really wrong. On the other hand, if I'm trying to reach a London audience, I know very well that between 6:30 and 8:30, a load of them are going to be on public transport getting into London, although that's changing as well. Therefore, what are they doing? Well, after they've read their paper or they've, you know, played Candy Crush, the likelihood is they're still on their phones, so maybe that's a good time to reach them. So again, the audiences for me will differ without giving away all the stuff, as you so rightly say. For me, mornings, somewhere between 8 and 10 is good. I actually find quite a lot of people about 4 o'clock are doing that. And although all the reports would say contrary, I actually get a lot of success at the weekends.
Yeah.
Though what I tend to do, that tends to be my more personal one. So if I'm paddleboarding and I take a sort of shot from, I don't know, Rocks and Broad or up there, then actually that's quite a good time because people are willing to say, oh yeah, nice, and oh, that's good.
So it isn't just about you and how you're feeling, but actually showing your life away from work. They're the posts I like to see because it gives me an insight more into the person I want to connect with.
Mm. And that's where, again, mentioned it earlier, that mix between, well, you want to say something about what you do, something about how it can benefit the person, the fact that you know, looking ahead, thought leadership, but then that fourth one, that key one, personal. In other words, it's really important both from an individual's perspective and a company to open up a bit.
Yeah.
Here's the people, here's the events we just ran, we just did this fabulous thing at, you know, I don't know, a charity event, or here's us getting together. People like to see that because it's peak. So mix it in with all the other stuff and you've got what I think is a really powerful blend of all things coming together.
Yeah, I think networking has changed because a lot of people are hybrid working anyway.
Mm.
So they're not having as much contact with, I mean, we were only in one day a week all together, the rest of the time we're working separately or all around Norfolk. So you don't get those connections, we always use that word, as much as you used to.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true. And therefore, it's almost a celebration of getting people together. I certainly saw a couple of posts from companies that I think I've dealt with, and they said, well, it's the first time we've actually had people all together in the office. And that was great, because you could see it, and you could see the connection there, and you could see the teamwork, and that they're having fun. And that in itself actually engenders and sort of leads you to think, you know, that's a company we could work with.
I guess that's the recruitment, isn't it, and the retention side.
Oh, there we go. No, again, social recruiting is very important, and you know, some of the best things isn't, hi, we've got this job. It's actually saying, well, here's someone in a similar job, and here's why he or she likes it, and this is what they've learnt, and then actually putting something about the person, which then hopefully brings the others in to say, well, that sounds like a great place. Let's see what they've got.
And that's the importance of getting your whole team to engage with it, not just the marketing or just from your actual company group.
Massively. And it isn't just towing the line, or it isn't just putting this stormtrooper type effect. Mm-hmm. In other words, everyone has the same profile. They look the same. No, because they're not. But absolutely, having all of those in there and getting the message out is a really key bit.
We've talked about how you stay ahead of the curve, but it's anticipating how, it's almost like best kind of service. You anticipate the needs that people have before they even know they need that or they want them? How do you, is that something you're immensely proud of?
Yes, to an extent.
That's a skill, isn't it? That's
yeah,
a real skill.
I'd like to. Gosh, you don't quite know that you've necessarily done it in the way, but I'm also slightly behind the curve in other things. So from the LinkedIn perspective, I'd like to think that I know as much as anyone. I'd also like to think that my background allows me to apply that to businesses, because I've worked with an awful lot previous to working on LinkedIn, but gosh, I did try and count them up. It's just under 500 companies now that I've trained over the years, and that's been a whole range of sizes and industries and all that. However, I have to recognise that the world changes, and therefore I need to do that. So the mix between what happens on LinkedIn, which should not be in a silo, but should feed into, say, email systems. It should feed into sales funnels or marketing funnel or quiz funnel in order to actually use part of LinkedIn with other marketing methods or other sales methods to then promote the way that people want to get the information. It needs to be online or it needs to be face-to-face. So all of these have been things that I think have been built into the business. And if I'm most proud of anything, it was the fact that I still came out of COVID and still had a business. I grant you mine was easier to do than most, but yes, it's been a bit of a change, as it has been for so many, I know. And I'm, just pleased to still be here.
So, with LinkedIn, if people say, make a comment or say something about your business that right or you're not happy with, what is the right way?
It's a difficult, I'm going to just hark back just briefly to my time in the blog coach many years ago, where the same thing was, and the question, someone's left a comment or a damaging comment on your blog. Clearly we have now post, and that would be the same thing. What do you do? In some way, I always said, actually, this is a positive thing, partly because I can deal with it, because they will still say it. So at least now it's in a place where I've got the right to reply. However, getting into a slanging match is no good to man or beast. No good to person or beast. There we go, put it in that term. And therefore it's a case of trying to identify the issue. For me, I will usually reply gently in it because I want to show there's a reply. Mm-hmm. However, my main thrust is likely to be that I will get in touch with the person through direct messaging if we're connected. If we're not connected, then we're in a little bit more difficulty, because obviously there has to be opening up a dialogue there. But what I don't tend to do is just leave it. I could block the person, which means I don't see it, but others still do.
But
so that's no good.
The
argument is still there, and then I'm not even participating. So for me, the worst thing to do is either, just get into a big slanging match. Don't want to do that. What we want to do, however, is show a reasoned support. I will also put a slight element here, and funnily enough, I wrote about this recently. LinkedIn is a bit of an echo chamber. In other words, because of the fact that when we post something, it is our supporters, basically, who will first see it. If you put a comment on, the people who are most likely to see that comment are people who are naturally going to be on your side. Therefore, actually, you are going to get more support, and at least you have dealt with the thing. So you have a little bit of the algorithm working in your favour. But coming back to the base level, I don't think just leaving it is good. You can, in most cases, delete the comment should you wish to, but then the person will probably take it elsewhere. Therefore, it would always seem good to try and essentially see what the real problem is, because often the comment that's been left is a symptom of a different problem altogether. There you go, Dr. Mark, all of a sudden. And therefore it's good to get past that, because otherwise it'll just keep repeating itself. So
it is a kind of one that sometimes happens for us, and it's just...
Oh, hugely. We all have different opinions, for goodness sake.
And everybody reacts differently.
Yeah. And even friends will have differences of opinion. So if you imagine people who are already potentially at loggerheads or have very differing opinions, then that can really happen. Mm-hmm. Where it gets out of hand is where we bring usually politics or religion into it. And I see a huge number of things from the States that occasionally hit my homepage. And those are debates I just could never or would never want to get involved in, because it's just dangerous, and there is no bringing the two sides together.
Let's stay clear of religion.
I think we should, at least in those terms.
That's good advice. Which neatly brings me to, so Conext is our initiative for young under 35s.
Lovely.
We love it. And it's about engaging, empowering and encouraging young people. So it isn't just people at the top end of their game starting out. It's everybody, whether you work on reception, not even that's not top of the game, I probably said that wrong. So whatever level of the business you're in and you're under 35, nobody kind of shows you how to network, how to do these things when you're just starting out. So if you could go back to your 25-year-old self, what advice would you give yourself?
Well, you've actually almost answered the question already. In other words, I would probably start with, now clearly LinkedIn wasn't around in those days, but it is actually the networking element and the talking to people and getting known. I had the opinion as a 25-year-old that if I just kept my head down and worked really hard, then I would go places. And my boss was the guy who, who pressed the flesh, as it were. In other words, he was very gregarious and he was the one who did the networking. I regret that. I feel building your network around you, working with people, supporting others, would be ideal. And one of my other bosses at that company, a lady by the name of Corinne Vigra, went on and founded TomTom. So she was one of the five founders, so she was my boss at Scion, and she went on and did that. She was not the suppressing the flesh, that came later, but what she did very well was she engaged, she talked, she worked with people, and I think that's where I would do. Be yourself at those networking events, don't worry about who you're talking to, just be yourself, listen, give an opinion, but make sure you're listening as well, and people will offer help, they will listen to you in return, and we're in a place then that we're all learning, because we've got stuff to learn from anyone. I learned from my 15-year-old, so I know very well I can learn from all the wonderful people you have coming along to your Conext events as well. So that would be my advice way back when.
That's really good advice, and it works face-to-face, it works digitally.
Absolutely.
Doesn't it? As everything you've said about LinkedIn, it just totally works.
And that for me is something that I regret a little bit, because I'm not a natural networker. It's not something that I sort of do in great faith, but I wish I had got more into it, because people are great, and actually people want to help, and that would be brilliant. So.
And it's easier to do digitally, because the pressure is off you, isn't it? And so you can have amazing posts and do all of that without the pressure of, oh, I'm going to not know what to say.
And certainly you have that option, not just LinkedIn, but actually all of our platforms. Again, it can be used in differing ways, but you're right. It takes a little bit of the pressure off. It allows you to think before, you don't have to do the sort of looking uncomfortable before answering or whatever. You have something where you can decide on your response. You can, you know, rein some things in, you can add other bits in, and it allows you to be yourself, I hope, a little bit more fully, which would be
brilliant. Thank you. So your courses, you've got a course coming up in September for training.
I've got a number of things happening. In terms of the public courses, there is actually, I'm going to try to get to the Norwich ones back online again. Sorry, that really didn't come across. Let me try that again. Back online is not what I meant. I meant back face to face, but happening is the way I want to put it. Trying to do some, used to do courses in Norwich and in London and in Birmingham and in Cambridge, face to face, but they all sort of rather took a back seat. Starting that up again, but I also have introduced a new type that I'm doing, which is actually happening now. The September one's already in there, so it's October. And that is 4 one-hour sessions. So 1 hour's a Monday on each Monday of the month, and it just allows people, we cover one key topic, there's resources available to them afterwards, and also the opportunity to then talk to others, and it just takes them through all of the stuff that hopefully are going to be useful, from presenting themselves to finding the right people to finding the best engagement ways, and of course to promoting. So running those soon as well.
Brilliant.
be something where they then have the chance to put bits into practice. So rather than having it all, most of the in-house stuff, we do it in a half day or a full day. So we have the team around and we work through everything, and it all happens in the course of a day. This allows people to put the block in place, check it out, maybe get some feedback, and then we go to the next block and the next block. So it just allows it to be spread out a bit. It gives a bit of support as well, which is good.
Yeah, no, that sounds excellent. Well, thank you so much, Mark, for talking to me today. It's been really, really fascinating. It's
been an absolute pleasure, Hayes, and thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thanks
and
so
good
much.
Luck with your events as well.
Thank you, Mark. We hope to see you there.
Look forward to it. You've been listening to the Norfolk Chamber of Commerce podcast, connecting, supporting, and giving voice to every business in Norfolk.